and the horizon's over there. You can see the horizon and you can see the sun, but you can't see where the road is going because it's windy. It is just keep your eyes on the sun.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me today. As you heard, my name is Jedidah, and this little one here is?
Una.
Somebody just told me to share this little snippet. My name means beloved. Some say beloved of God. And my dad always used to call me, God loves you. He wouldn't say Jedidah. He would just be like, God loves you. And I'd know that he was calling me. And I'm so thankful for that because I've always known that God loves me. It's always been in me, no matter what I've gone through, when I've strayed away, when something bad has happened, or something that I blame God for. It's always been there in my mind. God loves you. God loves you. That's always been in me. So I just thought I'd share that little tidbit. This is Una. She is how old?
Six.
6 years old. And she became my daughter when she was 8 months old. She was one of the rescues at Mercy Rescue, where I work, and I'm so thankful, aren't we? We're so thankful God put us together, aren't we? I just thought I would just share a little bit about what I do at Mercy Rescue. I've been there now for 10 years, and it's been an amazing journey, a hard journey at times. It's not easy, but God has always been there. I've always felt his presence there, no matter how hard it's gotten, no matter what tragedies we go through. You can't go through rescuing children without a tragedy, but God has always been in them and been able to keep carrying me through. So I just thought I'd share a little bit and have a little presentation just to show you some of what we do. We start off. In Kenya, unfortunately, there's over 3 million children that are abandoned and orphaned and vulnerable today. There's many different reasons that they are abandoned. In the next slide. they're abandoned because of result of incest or rape, others because they have a physical disability or an illness that people aren't able to cope with. And the vast majority is because mothers are either too young, have been taken advantage of, and are too poor to cope. And so it's for these reasons that we exist. And Mercy Rescue began in 2007. And this is what we do. We rescue abandoned and vulnerable babies. We provide medical care and respite care. We prioritize family reunification, and we support children's education, and we find loving family, forever families for these kids. Our priority is to make sure that each of these kids have a family to belong to and to know that they can call that place home. And to do this, we have 4 different programs. First, we have the Baby Rescue Center. So this is where every baby comes through when they are rescued. So this center is a 24/7 emergency rescue and medical care. When a baby needs rescue, no matter what time of day, we're available. And babies often come to us unwell or sick. They either have malnutrition or they've been neglected or they've been abused. And so when they initially come to us, we have to do a medical checkup to see how they are. The newborns come very vulnerable. Sometimes they can't stay at the center. We have to take them to hospital because they can't feed yet. They need a bit of help to be stronger so that they can feed through a bottle. And so this center is there to be that place where they come, their initial place of rescue. It is also where Una and I live. So we're right in the midst of everything. We're in the upper, the first floor of the center. That's our little home. And it's also important for me to be there because if there is an emergency in the middle of the night, I'm there to be there for the staff. They don't have to carry those kind of things, that kind of responsibility just by themselves. And then we can jump into the car and then rush to the hospital or something. Our cars, we were blessed with a car years ago, and it's just been an amazing addition to us. It's very old now, so we're hoping it keeps on going. But we use it often as an ambulance, rushing down the road, flashing our lights, trying to get to the hospital in time. But yeah, it's just handy for me to live on site so that I can be there to support and be there in case of an emergency. Because the babies that stay at the center, usually babies who have some kind of health issue, they have a development issue or something, they need that extra care at the center, so we can provide that for them. Now, since 2007, 370 babies have come through the doors of our baby rescue center. That's a lot of babies. Not that many babies in that photo, but yeah, a lot of babies have come through our doors. let me introduce you to a few that are currently at the center right now as we speak. This is Dantel. Dantel arrived quite a sickly baby. He was born in a hospital, and as soon as he was born, the mother disappeared. She just totally disappeared. She gave the wrong name and number on the documents, and so we haven't been able to find out who she is or where she is. But he was born premature, and so he has very weak lungs. So he gets sick very easily and has been dependent on oxygen for quite a while. We've been praying over him, and he doesn't rely on it all the time anymore. But when he gets very sick, like he can catch just a normal cold, but that could really set him back because his lungs are still quite weak. And so he needs to grow and get a bit of fat on him and stuff so that his lungs can be healthy to be able to cope with it. So we're praying that he will be completely off oxygen one day and healthy enough to be matched to a forever family. And that's our prayer for him. The next one is, who is it, Una?
Cheryl.
That is Cheryl. Cheryl was actually handed over to us by her birth mom. She was a teenager who had been taken advantage of and couldn't cope with a baby. She had tried, and so Cheryl came to us when she was a little bit older. But when she arrived, she was severely malnourished. The young mother, she was only a teenager, just didn't know how to raise a child. She was a child herself, and she was from a very poor background, and she didn't have that support at her home. And she arrived severely malnourished, that you can see in the first picture. That's when she went into hospital. We almost thought she wasn't going to make it, but thank goodness and thank God that she did. But she still has some sort of malabsorption issue. I think if she was in the Western world, we probably would have figured out what it was, what it was that was affecting her, not helping her to really flourish. So we're still trying to figure out just what it is, what the right foods, trying to test foods here and there to make sure that we can figure out what it is that can really put the weight on. Prayers continued for her. She's doing really well. She's a stubborn little thing. She has a right attitude, but she's lovely at the same time. Always wants to be held, calls everyone mom, and loves this swing in particular. She always wants to be in that swing. The next child that we have at the center is, who is it, Una?
Jaden.
This is Jaden. So Jaden came to us when he was about a month or so old. He was actually found in a church at the end of the service. Someone had found a baby underneath the chairs at the end of the service. And it was not long after he arrived that we realized that he had some form of physical disability. And the doctor said that he has cerebral palsy. So physically, he can't move much at all. He can't talk. And he can often be in a lot of pain because his muscles will spasm up because of his condition. And so he struggles a lot, but he has such a beautiful smile, and he loves it when we all gather around in the sitting room and have like devotional and sing. He will be laughing and trying to sing along with what noise he can make. He loves attention. He just turned 6 and they celebrated his birthday, and you can see him loving the attention. He's just such a beautiful child. We just pray that we're not sure of his future, but we pray we'll be able to give him the best care that we can while he's with us. Unfortunately, it's really difficult to find forever families for children with an illness or a special need or a disability. And so we have to try and find ways to give them that loving environment at the center where we can. One example is, in the next slide, is Mickey and Isaac. So these two boys, they both have physical disability. Mickey has a mild form of cerebral palsy. It affects his legs, and so he has a bit of a gait when he walks, and Isaac is blind. Mickey was with us when he was a baby, and so he grew up in the center watching all his age mates find families and go. And so he started asking us, when is my mom coming? When am I going to get a family? And we thought, we've got to do something about this. And one of our staff members, Sarah, she's such a lovely lady, got a beautiful heart, stepped forward and volunteered to be his mom. And so obviously we support her, we pay for school fees, we give the things that he needs, but she looks after both these boys. Isaac came later when he was 5 years old. He was actually found wandering around near the hospital, and people started to realize, oh, he actually can't see. And so we investigated. It's usually a boy who's blind wandering around, there's usually someone who knows where he's from. Someone will know, you know, in that kind of environment. But we just couldn't find anyone. So he came to us, and Sarah is now mom to both of these boys, and they're being raised as brothers in her family. And yeah, it's just been the perfect answer to prayer, that one. She came forward and we were like, yes, Lord, thank you for this answer for them, that they can have a family now and be raised in that family environment. So, yes. Oh, okay, well, come forward then. Do you want to see the next slide? It's not a kid anymore. It's the second program we have at Mercy Rescue. So the second program is called the Baby Foster Care Program. Now this, we haven't always done this. This came into place when COVID hit us. When COVID hit us, we thought to ourselves, how can we make this work? We have a center full of like 25 babies, staff coming in for day shift, night shift, and the government was telling us we can't do this. We have to shut down and make sure there's no movement. And we're thinking, how do we do this? We can't take staff away from their own families and their own kids to be able to look after our kids. So we decided that each staff member would take home a child to their home and look after the child in their home with their kids while their kids were off school, so that there wasn't that movement needed. And we realized, wait a second, these babies flourished. They reached their developmental milestones. Sickness wasn't there as much, because of course you have one baby sick in a center with 20, everyone gets sick, right? So we just noticed that like babies just really, they put on more weight, they were healthy. They even, such a little thing as a smile came quicker in a family home, because you didn't just have the staff member looking after the child. You had her kids getting involved. Even the husbands suddenly were like, oh, well, this is what you do, I see, you know? And so it just became this instant family situation for these babies that were rescued. And also the staff could do like a business on the side. Like some of them put out a vegetable stall outside their house so they could have the baby with them and sell vegetables while, you know, make a bit of extra cash. And yeah, it just, we were like, this is something. We need to do something here. So we decided that we would make this an official program. So we still have the center, obviously, as I said before, that's the place where we rescue babies when they need medical attention, when maybe they're not feeding as well. We don't want to burden a staff member and their kids with a sickly baby. But when the baby is healthy, when the baby is feeding well, the baby will go to one of these staff's houses and be looked after with among the family. And we, so we have 12 team members that do that for us. And we provide all the needs. We'll give them the nappies. We'll give them formula milk. We'll give them all the extra things that they need, a cot, the bedding, clothes for the baby, so they don't have to worry about those type of things. And then so while they're there, we have social workers that will investigate their case. So they will decide, okay, will this baby go back to a biological family? Will this baby go to a new forever family? So yeah, so it can be a little bit challenging for the families because they get attached to this baby, their kids get attached to this baby. And so when it's time for the baby to leave, you do find kids crying and, you know, sad that the baby's about to leave. But it also shows us that this baby was loved so well while they were in that house. So the next clip is a video of one of our staff sharing, talking about this her new role as a foster care mom. Oh, didn't come. Okay. Well, anyway, it was her name is Jael, and she was just sharing. It was a cute little video of her sharing life with a baby, with her kids all involved in looking after the baby. And she was talking about how she had looked after, I think she's looking after David there, and then she was talking about how they'd had another baby beforehand, and then they were wondering who would be the next baby. It was just a cute little baby of just her sharing life with a baby in their home. No, it's okay. No problem. The third program we have, we can move on if you can't find that video. Don't know why. Okay. So the third program we have is our home-based care program. So when children come to our center, our priority is to find out what is the next step for them. We don't just get them into the home and then keep them there. We find out what is the next step for them. And the first thing we want to do is find out who in their biological family is around, who can look after them, who can still have that link with them that they can be family with. So when we do that, we often have to support that family because a lot of these kids come from poor backgrounds and they can't look after a child. They don't have, unfortunately, school education in Kenya is very expensive. Even though they claim that it's free, it's very expensive in Kenya, especially a good school. And so we will help to pay for their education. Maybe in the holidays, we might give them a food package so that they can look after the kids and have enough food in the house. And so we've placed over 100 children have been placed back with their biological families with our support and even just spiritual support, that kind of, you know, teaching them about family, how to raise kids and be a unit and how important it is to be a family and how important it is for the child to know who their family is. So I have a video of kids talking about that, but I don't know if it will work.
I remember when I was young, being with my grandfather, who was drunk. And sometimes I used to follow him wherever he goes. My grandmother saw this, it's so good. She went to look for a home. She found Mercy Rescue. And in the morning, went to Mercy Rescue. My grandmother told me that you take care of your small sister, Joy and Faith. Mercy Rescue has just helped me a lot. I had a bed, which I never had. And so I saw some white people for the first time, and I never saw them. It was so great. It's been so loving to be in Mercy Rescue. My understanding of family is being together, creating one unity, and helping each other in difficulties. Some of the things I do at home with my family is we help in plastering the house, and sometimes even help each other in some work like homework, even cooking ugali. I want to thank my supporters. If it wasn't them, I could not be here. I could not be educated. I could now be somewhere even I don't want to imagine. Even with kids, some right now, I just want to say thank you for everyone who has supported me. And thank you so much.
So that was Filda. She's our oldest child. She's actually 20 now and in college doing hospitality management. And she hopes to one day be able, she has two sisters, two younger sisters that are still going through school. And their mother she has a mental sickness, so she's not quite all there. So she wants to one day, her dream is to have a house where she can have her sisters there and look after her mother as well. I think maybe we also have Clinton, I think. Is there another video? No. Oh, no. Okay, no problem. Yes. So when it's not possible to reunite a child with their biological family, when there's no one there or there's no one capable or no one willing, we then look for permanent foster or adoptive families for these kids. Because our aim is we get everyone into a family. And so many babies who started their life off unwanted, abandoned, or in desperate situations, they're now so loved and wanted in a new family, a new adoptive family, who you would just, you know, they're so loved in that environment. And it's just, sometimes it's just such an amazing thing to see, knowing where they came from when they first arrived at Mercy Rescue and to see where they are now. It's a real... A real pleasure to see, witness that journey. Whenever we go through something hard, when we remember some of those cases, it really keeps us going and know that even when there's a tragedy that happens, we know that there's so many other kids that have had an amazing outcome to their story. So I don't know if the next video is there to show. I'm sharing about one of the most transforming stories we have. I don't know if that video is there. Might be next after this. Oh. Yes, after this one. Another story that really touched my heart was a baby girl. We called her Madeline. She was found buried alive. She was found possibly by a passerby who had heard either a cry or had seen something unusual and had found her buried underneath the ground, only a partial part of her body, I think it was the shoulder, showing. When she came to Mercy Rescue, she had these scars all down the side of her body. It was either like she had had a reaction to the ground or there were ants maybe that had bitten away at her skin. She would not stop crying. You could tell she was in pain. You could tell she had not been brought into this world and instantly been loved. But she's one of those stories where she got healthy. Even you can't even see those scars anymore in her. They all cleared up. And she's just a beautiful, beautiful child. And she has been placed with a permanent family where she's loved and she's wanted. And just a miracle story, I guess. Just one situation where she was meant to die, but actually she lives. Yeah, it's one of our most touching stories, really. On a personal note, in Genesis chapter 16, we're introduced to another name of God, Elroy, which means the God who sees. And there's something about my journey being at Mercy Rescue that really, this name really speaks to me through a lot of our baby stories, because these babies were alone, abandoned, lost, and broken. But God sees each and every one of them, and God knows each baby. He knows their needs, and He knows where they're going. He knows what plan He has for them. He loves them. He sees them. He sees them. And he has them in His hands. And I hardly ever feel adequate enough to be doing the job that I do there. I never feel good enough. I never feel like qualified enough or that I know enough to be able to do what I do. But I know that God does, and I know that He can use me through that, and He can, and if I allow Him to, He will make sure that the babies will go where they need to be. The babies will get the care that they need to get cared for. He will place them in the family that exactly that He wants them to be in. And I just hold on to that. Hold on to the fact that God sees, and He will make something happen for each of these children. And so that's just a personal side note for me in my journey at Mercy Rescue. Obviously, next slide. What we do, saving and transforming these lives, is costly work. It does cost money. And so these are just some of the things that we need at the center, that, and you can see the amounts that we have to pay for them. So nappies for one baby for a month is £15. Formula milk for one baby for a month is around £58. It's probably gone up now, but to send one child to school a month is around £35. To support the needs of one baby foster home, so the staff's home that takes a baby, so to pay their salaries and to pay all the needs for that baby is around £90. And then any salary for one of the babies. Oh, sorry, I think that's the whole one of our team members' salary. Yeah, that's £155. And then just to support the running costs of the rescue center itself is £250. So it all costs work. But you know what? God is just, sometimes He likes to keep us on His toes. I really feel like this. He likes to make us feel like, oh no, this month we're not going to make it. And then suddenly at the last minute, He'll give us something that, you know, comes from nowhere. We're totally unexpecting it because He knows He wants us to recognize Him. And He doesn't want to give us too much so we think that we're the ones who are doing it. I think He just likes to keep us there because, you know, He knows He wants us to rely on Him. So even though we do always need extra funding, I'm in a place where I just know that God is always going to be faithful to us, and He knows what we need, He knows what's best for us, and He knows what things we need to prioritize and what things we should just maybe let slide. And so I just have that faith that God will keep us going. So next slide. There's many different ways you can help us. Obviously, you can become a monthly donor. You can sponsor a child through education. You can even just send a one-off donation. You can help us fundraise and spread the word out there. Tell people about what we do. Or you can even visit and see for yourselves. Come over to Kenya and see what we do for yourself. Come hold a little baby. But most importantly, I'd like to ask for prayer. I do believe we had that song, I Speak the Name of Jesus. I do believe in the power of the name of Jesus. I believe in the power of prayer. Some things, as Graham was saying, some things will get answered straight away. Some things will take a while. Like Dantel, we've been praying for him ever since he arrived, and it's taking a while, but I have that faith in God. And so I do always ask people for prayer. Prayer means so much to me. At the center, there's always a baby that comes in that needs prayer. We have the prayer that we just cancel whatever background they've come through, why they're there. Some of these babies are cursed. Some of them come from backgrounds where the community have cursed this baby, so we always know that it's important when they arrive to pray over them, to cancel whatever it is that has been, you know, said over their lives. Pray for our older kids that are starting to finish secondary school and starting to embrace adulthood. You know, there's so much in adulthood that, you know, so much that now experiencing freedom and seeing so many choices. And we just pray that each one of them is, you know, each baby, each child that comes through Mercy Rescue's door, whether they're just there for a little bit or whether they're there for a long time, that God has a way that plants a seed in them, and that they will always know that God loves them, and they will always be able to find their identity in God and to know He's their Father and that they belong to Him. And so you can also pray for me and Una, for our lives out there. It's not an easy life. It's everything that I know that I should be doing, but it's not always easy. Juggling being a mom and running the center, having emergencies in the middle of the night, and also just being away from home, my family, and from my church community, and building a new one where I am now. I'm often the person that is relied on wherever I am, whether I'm in church, whether at a school, whether I'm at the center, a lot of the community are dependent on me. They look to me because they see me as the Westerner that has the money, you know. And so whenever I'm in a situation, it's often all eyes on me. Okay, what is Jedidah going to do about this? And so I feel that responsibility a lot, and it's a lot of pressure sometimes. So, and I'm trying to do all this while trying to be a good example and a good mom to Una, because I feel, you know, very responsible as a mom towards her. So you could pray about that too. But yeah, that is just a little snapshot of what I do in Mercy Rescue. I hope I was able to give you a little piece of my life in Kenya. And yeah, that's it from me. Thank you for listening.